You know, I'm excited about next Sunday, the 16th of May, where we actually start back here at our 10:45 service at PBC. Over the last few weeks, it's been wonderful seeing more people returning, more families coming back, some faces that we haven't seen in a while, plus also some new people. So I encourage you to think about that 10:45 service next week. You don't have to register, just come and there'll be a QR code for you as you come in. Also, as a bit of a treat, coming back to 10:45 just next week, we've got a soup lunch afterwards. So hang around for a bit longer. Enjoy connecting with people over a soup lunch. For your diaries as well, on May the 30th, Sunday afternoon at 1:30, we've got a special church meeting coming up. This is a really important meeting as we want to talk through how we can be resourcing some of the future needs we have here at PBC, particularly with children and youth. So can I encourage you just to prioritise that meeting as we together can seek God's will as we seek to look into the future. So we're going to be hearing from Trav now. I encourage you to get your Bibles and notebooks out as he comes and speaks to us.
Well, thanks, Lynn, and a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are joining us today. You know, we value you so much and really honour the role that you play in the lives of our children. Now, this is week 3 of our series, Empowered, looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's fair to say there's a real excitement about this series amongst the pastoral team and I think across our church family. You know, it's been great seeing people come forward to receive prayer for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in our services the last couple of weeks. And we're really looking forward to how this series will stir all of us up as a church community to lean into and welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives together. It is so great. If you're just joining us, this is where we've been. In week 1, Kathy kicked off by looking at the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And she looked at his deity and his personhood and encouraged us all that the Holy Spirit is best understood and experienced in relationship with him. Last week, Christine taught on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit grants and confirms our new life and our identity as children of God. She was speaking from Romans chapter 8, such a good passage, reminding us that we are no longer in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit who now lives in us, calling us children of God. And this week, we'll be looking at how the Holy Spirit is actively at work in us to help us become more like Jesus. Or if you like big Bible-y words like me, the Holy Spirit's role in our ongoing sanctification. So before we jump in, I'd love it if right where you are, if you're meeting with others, turn and have a conversation around these two questions. Or if you're watching on your own, just sit and have a reflect on these questions. The first is this, what can you identify in your life that has changed because of the Holy Spirit? And the second is, how aware are you of the indwelling Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life and activity? So why don't you just take a moment now, have a reflect, or have a conversation if you're meeting with others today. Well, hopefully you could identify lots of ways that the Holy Spirit has already made an impact in your life and your Christ-likeness. And I hope in even thinking about it, it just makes you hungry for even more. Now there's a whole bunch of teaching on the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament. And Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there's some great stuff in there about the Holy Spirit's role in conversion, about gifts of the Spirit, about public manifestations of the Spirit, and so much more. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he specifically addresses what he calls the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he contrasts it to what the people of God under the old covenant used to experience. You know, so in Exodus, the people of God thought it was absolutely wild that they could send representatives, Moses and his aide Joshua, to go into the tent of meeting and they would be able to meet with God there on behalf of all the people. or that great moment that actually formed their identity as a nation and told them how to live, where God came down and he gave the law to Moses. And so Paul, picking up this, writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 8 he says, "And so will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious than that which they experienced under the old covenant?" And it's true, isn't it? As new covenant people, it's almost bizarre to think that we would look at a distance while a representative for us went to meet with God on our behalf. Right, because we ourselves have become the literal physical temples of the Holy Spirit. That each of us who know Jesus get to live every day in and with the presence of God. And so verse 9, Paul continues, "And so if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious," speaking of the old covenant, "how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness?" You see, back then they had the law written down in black and white for them to obey. But they didn't always live up to it or fully live it out. They possibly could never hope to fully live it out, neither could we today in our own strength. And so one of the things that the law did, or one of the ways it functioned, was to remind them and to confirm and to heap up condemnation against them for not living rightly under God. And that's why there's a whole need for a sacrificial system under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8:1-2. You see, we are no longer slaves to our flesh, but the Holy Spirit is actively at work in us to bring about righteousness. That is, right thinking and right living, right relationship with God. Instead of us trying to measure up to the law, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, guiding, convicting, making known, speaking, helping, interceding, teaching, strengthening, empowering, sanctifying, leading, and ultimately bringing glory to Jesus as he bears the fruit of right relationship with God in our lives. And so Paul wraps up this teaching of Scripture in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3 still, and speaks to all of us. And so all of us who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory because of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the active and ongoing process that is at the very heart of our discipleship. The Holy Spirit, in one sense, truly is the master discipler. And we grow and we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus the most when we fully welcome and fully participate with his work, the Holy Spirit's ministry in us. Well, I have to be honest about something about myself, and this may come as a shock, so I hope you're all sitting down, but I currently do not have a personal trainer. Scandalous, right? You never would have guessed. In fact, I have never had a personal trainer, but I have great respect and admiration for the role of personal trainers in the lives of those that they train. Because I've seen some crazy results in amazing amounts of growth in fitness and in health and genuine transformations that I just don't think would be possible apart from that relationship that person has with their personal trainer. You see, a personal trainer is incredibly fit and experienced and disciplined and trained and knowledgeable. And so they're able to motivate and inspire those people that they train. They know just the right exercises at just the right time with just the right form to get the best results in the life of their client. You know, they are able to equip and resource their clients with right thinking and right knowledge that informs right choices that results in right behaviors outside of the gym, which also help contribute to the success and the growth and the transformation that people experience over time. And a trainee, someone who has a personal trainer, they obviously see the value in their trainer. I mean, quite literally, they're paying them for their service. You know, hooking up with a personal trainer brings new rhythms and new accountability into their lives. And there is, in a real sense, a bit of trust and faith in the personal trainer that they know what is best, and even allowing them to push them beyond what they maybe thought was possible in their training. But ultimately, of course, they realize that their success is dependent not just on the wisdom of their trainer, but also in their active participation in doing what the trainer says. So I think it could be really helpful to think of the Holy Spirit as your own 24/7 live-in personal discipleship trainer. And if that sounds a little bit irreverent or a little bit sacrilegious, I think if Kathy can talk about the Godhead in terms of a scone, we can talk about the Holy Spirit's work in terms of a personal trainer, right? You see, there are so many ways that the Spirit is at work training and helping, being an active part of our transformation into the very likeness of Jesus. And we don't simply have time to dive into all of them today. So I've got another quick question I'd love you to pause and have a discussion about or a reflect on. And it's very simply this one. Could you brainstorm some of the ways that the Holy Spirit is helping you become more like Jesus? What are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work as your personal discipleship trainer, helping you become more like Jesus? Well, hopefully you have a really wonderful list of the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work helping make you more like Jesus. And for our remaining time, I just want to focus on two ways that the Holy Spirit is bringing transformation in our lives and helping us become more like Jesus. And the first is this, that the Holy Spirit is constantly training us in truth and wisdom. You know, the truth about Jesus, the truth about his kingdom, the truth about what it means to live as a disciple and what it means to have this new life that Jesus offers us. You know how there are many names for God and Jesus in the Bible, and those names help us understand who they are. Well, the same is true of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples on the night before his betrayal and arrest, this is John chapter 14, he writes in verse 16 that he will ask the Father, and the Father will give the disciples an advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And later in the conversation, quite a while later, in John chapter 16, Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so as disciples of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us, training us by revealing truth to us, confirming truth within us, reminding us of truth, helping us discern truth, and granting us wisdom to apply truth in our lives as disciples of Jesus. I don't know about you, but for me, my experience of this ministry of the Holy Spirit, when he reveals truth to me, is that it feels like a light bulb has gone on inside me, and it's accompanied by a really strong sense of inner conviction. And I just know that I know that I know that what I was hearing or feeling is of God, and it is from God. What about you? Is that how you experience it? And for me, this kind of leading of the Holy Spirit can come anytime. You know, I could be listening to a preacher, or I could be in conversation with another believer. I could be praying, reflecting on something, reading something in the Bible, wrestling with a decision, or it could just come out of left field and come out of nowhere. But the result is always the same. It's like the Holy Spirit is saying, Travis, pay attention to this. Believe this. Receive this. And live in light of it. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals and he points us to truth. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he's speaking about the almost unimaginable things that God has prepared for those who love him. He writes, and yet these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. And then a couple of verses later, He reminds them that what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You see, this is what we experience at conversion. And the Holy Spirit continues to reveal truth to us throughout our lives. And as we go along the way, I mean, is there any more transformational than the ministry of the Holy Spirit in confirming elements of our new life and our identity and relationship with God in us? I mean, you can hear 1,000 messages, can't you? You can sing 1,000 songs, but when that ministry of the Holy Spirit just confirms it, makes it personal, speaks it over you, it's a game changer. You know, I think back of my own discipleship. So many years sitting in church, feeling guilty and the weight of shame, even as I sang of and sat under preaching about Jesus' grace and his complete forgiveness. And I suspect I'm not alone in that. You know, often what truly frees us and brings us the transformation that we so desire is having a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, who simply confirms or makes personal the truths of our faith. All of a sudden, we stop hearing there is no condemnation for those who believe in Christ Jesus, and we start hearing the Holy Spirit speak over us, there is no condemnation for you. Instead of kind of hearing that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are children of God, suddenly we feel the Holy Spirit confirming with our spirits that we, us, me, I am a child of God. And that can be so incredibly transformative. And these moments of Holy Spirit encounter, they become significant markers on our journey of discipleship. And they form constant reminders to keep us on track, so that we keep living from that place of right, restored relationship with God. Well, Jesus continues in John chapter 14, teaching his disciples, and he says, you know, when the advocate, when the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. It's like Jesus knew that we'd be prone to forgetting what he said. You know, I love this about the Holy Spirit. I mean, who hasn't been in a situation and suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, an incredibly timely and pertinent Bible verse just plops straight on into our head and our hearts, and we know it's from the Holy Spirit? I can't even count the times in my life where I've been anxious about something or angry at somebody or even just fixated and fantasizing about worldly things, earthly things, idols and the such. And verses will pop into my head like, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And sometimes I feel like saying, God, I don't think you understand. Like, this is really important. I'm trying to worry about this. And yet it's the Holy Spirit inviting me to trust and to reach out to God. Well, those times where you hear those verses come in about forgiveness, he who has been forgiven much must also forgive. And you start sitting there thinking, but God, you don't understand how angry I am towards this person. And again, the Holy Spirit ministering to our heart, shaping our character, shaping our responses to things. Get this all the time. I wonder if you experience that as well. The amount of people who will come and listen to a sermon on Sunday and say, you know what, that was the exact verse that I was reading in my devotional just a couple of days ago. It seems like God won't let up on this one in my life. You know, the Holy Spirit is doing this constantly and consistently, lovingly in our lives, helping us discern right from wrong, helping us know what is of God and what is not, revealing the truth of how we're called to be handling conflict or our emotions or our attitudes or our relationships, reminding us of what we are to be believing and living in light of. And each moment is the chance to respond in faith and obedience, to take another step towards Christ's likeness as the Spirit leads, to grow in our Christian maturity. And so I want to give you a moment right now in the middle of the message to simply ask the Holy Spirit if there's any truth that he has been trying to get your attention. So we're going to pop a couple of seconds up on the clock. And as you do, just pray and then listen. Holy Spirit, reveal to me any truths I need to receive afresh from you, and confirm those to me in my spirit. Why don't you take this time with the Holy Spirit now? Alright, so the Holy Spirit is the master discipler, a 24/7 live-in personal discipleship trainer, and he is training us consistently in truth and wisdom. And yet one of the other things he does that I think is really important is he works with us constantly to help transform not our bodies, but our character. And we already spoke about this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory into the very image of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is actively at work to bring about that transformation at every level of our being, from our thinking, to our attitudes, to our default responses to things in life, to our behavior and our words. You know, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit, He is leading us into a life that glorifies Jesus in all things. Now, He does that in a whole bunch of ways, but again, just love to focus on two. That my experience and understanding is that there are two really important ways that the Holy Spirit helps shape our character. You know, He does this reactively in what we would call the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and He does this proactively in what we would call the promptings or the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you have ever sinned, and I'm going to assume the answer is probably yes, you know, where you've done something that you knew Jesus would not approve of, or you deliberately avoided doing something that you knew God actually was calling you into, then chances are at some point you have felt and experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the aftermath. You know, for me, the conviction of the Holy Spirit kind of feels a bit like a heaviness on my heart, my heart sinking a little bit in my chest. And that's accompanied by a conviction of my wrongdoings, mixed in most of the time with a little bit of guilt and shame. But in there also an invitation to repent and to return to God's ways anew. And see, this is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is designed to interrupt our movement away from God, to interrupt our movement away from the person He is wanting us to become, and it calls us back instead, it gets us back on track. I've had lots of conversations with Christians over the years who haven't necessarily known how to handle that feeling of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, many people feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and then feel miserable or feel like God is mad at them. That's not the case. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is much more akin to a father lovingly disciplining his child for running across the road without looking both ways first. It is a loving correction for their good. You think of the personal trainer example again. Imagine you had a personal trainer and then during the week you fell massively off the wagon and you ate takeout every night and you didn't get enough sleep, you didn't drink any water and you certainly didn't do any exercise. Do you really want the kind of personal trainer that the next time you see them next week, they just go, meh, that's all right, never mind, let's train today? No, you would expect your personal trainer to rouse on you a little bit, to remind you of your goals and what you really do want, and to help motivate you and inspire you to get back on track. It's kind of what the conviction of the Holy Spirit does. It helps form us towards Christ likeness and away from that other thing. And so I'm in the habit of thanking God every time I experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because in my mind, the Holy Spirit's conviction is His loving intervention helping me become the Travis Jesus wants me to be. I don't know if you caught that, right? The conviction of the Holy Spirit, to me, I understand that as the Holy Spirit's loving intervention helping me become the Travis Jesus wants me to be. And I welcome that ministry. And I'm always a little bit glad and relieved as well when I do feel convicted, because it means that I am still sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. I am still hearing Him and experiencing Him really clearly. Because you know what happens if you consistently ignore that conviction and persist in rebellion? Well, you do what the Bible calls hardening your heart, and you don't want that. Because over time, the voice of the Holy Spirit gets harder to hear, and the sin which once grieved you starts seeming not so bad, maybe even a bit justifiable. And eventually you actually get to a place where you feel no guilt or no remorse, no shame about living outside of God's intended will for your life. And that's not the path of discipleship. We need to remain sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and be quick to repent and return to God's ways when we experience it. Well, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there's a proactive work of the Holy Spirit in helping shape and form and transform our character towards Christ-likeness. Proactively, it's kind of a little bit like a personal trainer who might, you know, up the weights a little bit or suggest a different routine that will stretch you and grow your muscles or your fitness. Well, in the same way, the Holy Spirit prompts us or leads us in ways that stretches our faith and grows our Christ-likeness. Again, you're going to need to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to discern His leadings to be able to make the most of this. But the Holy Spirit is always at work in your life, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to learn. Maybe for you, it's like those times when you're talking with someone and the Holy Spirit will just prompt you, like give you a little nudge. Hey, you should pray for that person. And you respond by saying, I will when I get home. And then the Holy Spirit responds by, no, I meant now, like with them. And so you have to muster up the courage and say, do you mind if I pray for you about that? Would that be cool? It's as simple as that. Straight away, you've exercised your muscles of faith, you've walked in obedience, and you've grown in what it means to be Christ-like. Or maybe you've been hearing of a particular situation, maybe in a friend's life or maybe overseas, like the situation in India right now, and you get that Spirit prompting you, and you just know that you know that you know that God's calling you to do something about it, to find an organization to give money to or maybe get involved personally, maybe be hospitable or whatever it is. That's the kind of nudgings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, always leading us deeper into Christ-likeness, deeper into our maturity as disciples of Jesus, forming us in the very ways and the works of Jesus as we interact with the world around us. I have to say, I experience this all the time, and some days I'm pretty good at kind of sidestepping them, and some days I actually step up and say yes to what the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do. And every time that I respond positively to a prompting of the Holy Spirit, I have to say, I'm always thankful and grateful that I did. And then I'm looking for and I'm hungry for the next opportunity, the next thing that the Holy Spirit will lead or prompt me to do, say, or respond. There's actually a time recently that I thought about as I was preparing for this message. It happened at night. We needed some supplies at home, and it was nearly Emily's bedtime, but I was like, you know what, let's chuck her in the car. I'll head to the shops. We'll get the extra supplies together. Be a bit of a daddy-daughter thing. And so we went and did that, finished our shop, and we come outside, and there is a lady in the front of our local Woolies with the cardboard sign asking for help and asking for money. Now, I've got Emily in this hand, I've got the shopping in this hand, it's nearly her bedtime, so it was just in a too hard basket for me, and I walked past, loaded up the car, and drove off. Now, I didn't even get out of the car park before I felt the Holy Spirit saying so strongly, you're going back to help that lady. Given that we live so close, I just drove home, emptied Emily back out, emptied the shopping out, said to Kate, look, this is what the situation, this is what I'm feeling. And her being a legend just said, you need to go back and help that lady. So I jump back in the car, drive and have a chat to her, find out where she's living, what the situation is. There's another guy there and we go, well, we'd love to help you. Go in, organize a gift card so that she can get some food, get some groceries. You know, it's not going to change her world. It wasn't massive sacrificial giving on my part, but just a really practical way of supporting and encouraging her. A bit more of a conversation, and then I left, and that was it. You know, I have to say, I've been a pastor for a while and I've been around the traps, and I tend to be a little bit cynical, maybe, of some of the things like that. And I did drive out of the car park, I must admit, seeing how people were responding to her, and I'm pretty sure that she was going to earn more in a couple of hours sitting outside my local Woolies than I was going to earn that week. I was still a little bit confused as why she'd managed to come half an hour away from where she lived to ask for money as well. But the truth is that I actually left with my heart singing the praises of God. There's something so beautiful and moving and powerful in hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit and responding yes. And I'm not big noting what I did at all. It was a tiny little thing. But I drove home more in love with Jesus than when I'd driven to the shops before. And there's something about following the promptings of the Holy Spirit that makes you hungry for more. You know, in that moment, it confirmed within me that I want to be the kind of Jesus follower that is more generous than not. It actually leads with empathy and belief rather than judgment and excuses why I couldn't help. And I love that about the Holy Spirit, because he's leading us in the very thing that our hearts desire, to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to live a life worthy of the calling we've received as we increasingly learn to live and love like him. You know, right now, the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. He's helping you become more like Jesus. Your own live-in 24/7 discipleship trainer. So what's he saying to you? What's he prompting or leading you to do? How's he seeking to transform you into the likeness of Christ right now? And how will you respond and participate with what he is at work doing in your life?